My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I think we're all familiar with the idea of renegotiating a contract, aren't we? If you watch any sports, you've seen it happen. As teams try to renegotiate a contract with a player, that player wants to be given what they think they deserve, what they think they are worth. Might go on for quite a while. If you're in the business world, you may understand the idea of renegotiating a contract from there. Trying to figure out what a job is worth, how much an individual should be paid for either the work that they put in, for the job as a whole, and that negotiation can go back and forth. Even if you haven't experienced it yourself, you've at least heard about it in the news. Because sports season starts up again, you have to hear the constant reminders of, well, we don't know if they'll be back. Renegotiating a contract. That's what it is. It's all a matter of trying to pinpoint from a financial standpoint the value of the effort of the work of the individual. And in the end, you want it to come out so that it is even, so that it is fair, no matter what is decided. Today, as we take a look at what Jeremiah writes in the Old Testament lesson, we see a contract that was signed. In fact, what Jeremiah is alluding to is the contract or the covenant that the Lord had made with the people in the Old Testament. It was a covenant that was made on Mount Sinai. The people had just been rescued from slavery in Egypt, and here they come before their Almighty God. And it was God who had said, when He gave them the laws, the Ten Commandments, all of their ceremonial and sacrificial laws, all of the things they would do that would set them apart as God's chosen people, their dietary restrictions and the way that they would live, all of that together. And God said, if you do these things, if you follow what I have told you to do, then you will be my people. And I will be your God. If you follow through on what you are supposed to do, I will richly bless you. And that was the contract that was signed. That was the covenant that was agreed upon. And the people on the foot of Mount Sinai said, this sounds like a great idea. Let's do it. We will do what you have asked, Lord. We will follow you. We will be your people. And you can be our God. There's a problem in this, though. The contract that was signed was broken. The people's ability to follow through on their end of the agreement was very lacking. And then came an issue. What are we going to do with this broken contract? How can God follow through on His end if the people won't follow through on theirs? And let's face it, the same is true for us. If that is the contract, if that is the covenant that the Lord makes with us, and He says, if you follow my word, if you follow my laws, if you do what you're supposed to do, then I will be your God and I will richly bless you. We don't have much better luck than the people in the Old Testament did. How often have we broken that contract, that covenant with our God? It's not going to work for us. So for our benefit, for our needs, it is imperative that we renegotiate that contract. Because if it's followed through on, then we deserve nothing but death and hell. It's fitting that we would talk about this, that we would read this reading from Jeremiah today as we celebrate the Reformation, because this was really what Luther's cry was. A little over 500 years ago, as he nailed those 95 theses to that church door in Wittenberg, this is what he was driving at. Because he had looked into Scripture and he had seen the fact that God had renegotiated the contract and nobody knew about it. Nobody was being told about it. We need to hear what the Lord has done for us and be reminded once again every single day that what Jeremiah says here has happened. I will make a new covenant with my people. I will renegotiate the contract. Let's look once again. Jeremiah chapter 31, and this is what the Lord says to you. Yes, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant of mine, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. We know the story, don't we? I think we've heard the story before of the Exodus, of the rescue from slavery in Egypt. And as the Lord brings them out of Egypt in 10 plagues and miraculous signs, He brings them to the Red Sea, and then He divides the waters, and the Israelites walk through on solid ground. But the waves come crashing down on the Egyptians to stop their pursuit. And then how the Lord provides for them as He leads them to the foot of Mount Sinai, and there, in a miraculous way, His presence comes down in the cloud. And then Moses goes up to receive the 10 commandments, the table of the law, and all of the other things that God would demand. That was the covenant that was being signed there. We see it there at Mount Sinai. We see it restated once again before the Israelites go into the promised land in Deuteronomy. The Lord showed forth the covenant He had made. And of course, we have to understand what I said before, the terms of that agreement. If you do what I have told you to do, you will be blessed. Do you know how long it took before the Israelites broke that covenant? Maybe you remember another story. They hadn't even left Sinai. Moses was still up on God talking about all of the things that they were supposed to do when all of a sudden the Israelites said, let's take all of our gold jewelry and melt it down and we'll make a golden calf. And then they put up this golden calf statue and said, this is our God who rescued us from Egypt. Well, that didn't take very long, did it? This contract, this covenant that the Lord had made with His people, that the people had said emphatically, yes, we will do it. We will follow the Lord. He will be our God. We will do what He has told us to do. It didn't take very long at all. And now all of a sudden, they've already turned their backs on Him. They've already broken their covenant. This is a problem. It's a big problem for them. It's a big problem for us. Have we been any better? How much better do we fare when the Lord says, if you will be my people, I will be your God. If you will do what I have told you to do, then I will richly bless you. When we take a good, honest, hard look at our lives and realize how often we want everything to work out not in God's best interest, but in my own. When I want to follow my own whims, my own ways, and I don't really care what the Lord has said. We live in a culture now that is so normal in the thought that God should cater to me and not me adjust my thought according to God. All of a sudden the Lord says, if you will be my people and do what I have commanded, and we take a look at Scripture and rightly so, realize that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that includes me. We realize that when He says that anyone who stumbles at just one part of the law is guilty of breaking all of it, that includes me. And that those little pet sins that I struggle with each and every day, that I never seem to be able to get the better of, are those things that should drive me straight into hell's fire. I have not held up my end of the contract. I have not fulfilled my side of the agreement. And no one has. That's the world we live in. It's a world tainted by sin. It's a world corrupted by sin. Each and every one of us is guilty of it. Luther was guilty of it, and he was intimately aware of his guilt. In fact, his guilt burdened him to no end. You read the stories, how much fact there is in them. We don't know 100%, at least not to what degree. We know that Luther, though, was plagued by his sin and was overcome by his guilt. And it was because of those things that he was encouraged to investigate the Scriptures and to find the gospel. And once he did, it changed everything. Because he read things like here in Jeremiah. He read promises that God had made and things that Jesus had done on his behalf and realized that if left to our own, yes, we're going to break this contract, but it's not on us anymore. Because like Jeremiah says, the Lord will renegotiate that contract. Let's take a look at the rest of our reading from Jeremiah. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will each one teach his neighbor, or each one teach his brother, saying, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their guilt, and I will remember their sins no more. Did you catch on to the thing that is said there over and over again? Where the Lord says, I will do this. I will remember their sins no more. I will forgive them. They will be my people. I will be their God. Over and over and over again, the Lord comes and says, I'm going to fix this broken covenant. I am going to renegotiate the contract I have made with my people, and it's not going to be up to them anymore. It's going to be up to me. That sounds pretty good, because we sinful humans are the ones who had messed up the first covenant in the first place. And if I want any kind of an agreement between God and I that works out for my best interest and for my good, that leads to my salvation and the hope of eternal life, then it's got to be laid firmly in the hands of my Savior for there to be any hope. The Lord knew this, which is the reason why He says, I will be their God. No strings attached. No things needed. I will forgive their sins, and I will remember their guilt no more. This is the new contract you have. This is the new covenant, and it is paid for in the blood of Christ. That's why we can have sure and certain hope in it. Because it is by grace through faith that you have been saved. It is all because of what Jesus has done. It's His life that was poured out. Jesus signed this new covenant for you in His own blood. So that you would know you are forgiven. It's not on us anymore. What a blessing that is. To have the hope and certainty that comes in Christ our Savior. This is the truth that Luther grabbed a hold of. At a time where the church at large was telling the people that if you want to be saved, then you'd better pay for it. You have to either pay through it through your money or you have to pay for it through your work. By your deeds will you be saved. And if you're not good enough, then you're out of luck. What a burden to the conscience and to the heart. And as Luther stood up to preach to the people, he saw time and time again that these were people who were racked by guilt over their own sin, just as he had been. And so, he shares with them the gospel. Of course, there are people in power who wanted to gain the wealth and the glory and the privilege of being in charge, who didn't like what Luther had to say. But Luther brought out the gospel in its purest form so that people would know the contract has been renegotiated. You are forgiven. That's why we hold to that message still today. It's the reason we proudly call ourselves Lutherans. Not because Luther was a perfect man, far from it. But so much more importantly, because the Lord used Luther to see the truth once again and to bring it back to the church, to bring it back to the cross of Christ, to remind us of the fact that God has made a new covenant with you. And because of that, despite your great faults and sins, you are forgiven. The contract has been renegotiated, and through the blood of Christ, heaven is your home. I hope that's what we cling to every day. We need to be reminded of the fact that we broke the first contract. We broke that old covenant. God was faithful, but he set aside the justice that we deserved, and he said, I will do what they need, and I will forgive them of their sin. Cling to that. Not just today, but going forward every single day, to have that absolute certainty and joy that comes only through the gospel, to know that we have a new covenant where the Lord says, I am your God, and I will bless you with forgiveness and life. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and our minds focused on Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Joining together now, we confess our Christian faith. Today we do so with the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's page 197 in your order of service. Page 197, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.